Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello and welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up. I'm Asia and I am here for the last podcast of this season with my awesome co-host, Amy. Amy, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. We made it. We survived through all the ups and downs of this. This is where we are now.
Right.
Waiting for Boston.
Yes.
A few weeks, practically.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Yes. We find out January 5th is when Boston, Married at First Sight Boston, is coming. It's just like, can I breathe for 2 seconds? But we're here to talk about 4 hours of content. So we couldn't do this alone. We are here with one of our favorite guests from this season, Jason Reed. Jason, how are you?
I'm great, Amy and Asia. It's great to be on the podcast. I love the show. I love the podcast. I love you too. But 4 hours? Come on. 4 hours of content. They could not have done the Where Are They Now next week. They had to show one more crappy Christmas movie and they couldn't get this Where Are They Now out next week.
Oh, yeah. You're so right. Like, I wish that would have been, I wouldn't have even been mad about that. Like, I would have taken one more week if I had known that it was going to be so exhausting in one night.
Lifetime needed to shove one more bad Christmas movie down our throats. So they did not have time for it. So they squished it all together in this week. And I was so mad that this was two-hour shows.
It's like, I don't know, Amy, was this better or worse than like the 3 hours you usually get for the Bachelor or Bachelorette?
I mean, it didn't seem as extreme to me just because I had to break it up because I couldn't find the Where Are They Now anywhere on the Lifetime app. So nobody messaged me to say that it's there now because I paid $2 to watch it later on. Mm-hmm. I had to buy that extra hour there. So
was it worth every penny?
Oh, you know, I don't know if I could have lived not knowing about that second retreat that they did.
The getaway. It's not a retreat. It's a getaway.
The getaway. Are you going to the getaway? Are you going to the getaway? Who's going to the getaway?
It's like a secret club or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember getting to the end of the Where Are You Now episode and I was like, how on earth did they make that 2 hours? Like, I was just sitting back thinking of like the stuff we learned. There's no way that couldn't have just been an hour.
Which was almost nothing. We almost learned nothing.
Right?
Almost.
Yeah.
There were a couple of things, but it was like just a lot of repetitiveness in that. Where Are They Now? Like, why does this need to be 2 hours?
Exactly. So today we're going to talk about the part two of the reunion. And then also this Where Are They Now special that they gifted us. Right before Thanksgiving. So 4 hours of content. Right. Yeah, it deserves to be regifted because, yeah, no, it especially on the same. I'm just sitting here just like the nerve of them. If they had just given us an hour right after the part two, I would have been perfectly content. And like, yes, 3 hours, we're done. Put a pin in it. And we're done with the season. But they had to go above and beyond. So let's see. Part two. So we knew coming off of last week that we had to finish Michaela and Zach, and then we also had to do Johnny and Belle. And I thought, oh, you know, waiting for Johnny and Belle, it's going to be something explosive. But I felt like it didn't deliver what it was supposed to deliver.
No, I got something out of it. It gave me a little more insight into Johnny. Mm-hmm. I think we'll get into it a little more once you get there, but I definitely felt some more things about Johnny that I didn't feel before, which is not to say it was emotions. Good or bad. Yeah. But I definitely felt I had new insight into Johnny.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's okay. I'm excited to hear that then. So when we left off part one, Michaela and Zach were, Michaela had stormed on stage because Michaela had agreed to do their interviews separately because she didn't want Zach messing up her energy. So she comes on stage. Zach storms backstage. He's like, I can't do this. She told me she didn't want to be on stage together. He asked her to leave. And then he comes back on stage. We learn that she broke the window in her car in one situation. When they were arguing,
I couldn't follow the story here. Like, right? I was like, wait, what?
Like, I'm in the place.
Yeah. And I do want to call out Lifetime on something. Throughout this whole kerfuffle backstage, Zach utters a very familiar phrase. He says, thank you, damn. And they used this three times this episode. Once here, and then two flashbacks later. It's the same tone. It's the same, like, you know, it's the exact same clip. They used it three times.
Oh, like
I called. I was like, wait a minute, that thank you damn sounds very familiar, because like, I remember when they were at the retreat and he said that. I was like, wait a minute, did they just throw that in there like for extra drama? I just thought that was so funny and I had to call it out. It's so hilarious. They use this same clip three times in the show.
Yeah. It's like, is that his catchphrase, or like you're trying to make me think that's his catchphrase? He just says that all the time. Like, oh, it's a freaking bite.
Get the t-shirts out.
Yeah, which just makes you feel like that whole backstage drama was pretty much all fabricated. Mm-hmm. Like, they just threw in a bunch of clips together to make it a lot more dramatic than it was. But you know, yeah, it's Lifetime, that's what they do. So I can't really fault them too much. That's what we're expecting. That's what we're here for. But I just thought it was so hilarious that when I heard that, thank you, damn. I was like, I've heard that many times before. Like,
right.
And the exact same tone and intonation. So I want to call a little shenanigans on that for that.
Right. Yeah, Zach is just not as dramatic as they wanted to paint him as. It was just they wanted to up his level of dramatics to match Michaela, to kind of like make it seem like, yeah, that's a wild couple, when it's just like... A lot of Zach's things were in reaction or in response to what Michaela had going on. So we basically learned, like, okay, yeah, I couldn't follow the story either. There was a situation where she got mad. This was after decision day. She got mad, stormed out. She broke the window in her car. They spent 4 days together. They did get intimate. But he doesn't understand how she could be confused about their situation. He said he doesn't believe that she ever loved him. He doesn't think she knows that was even possible, that she ever loved him. He doesn't know how she can think that he played her. And he brings up how she was the one who, she didn't want the camera. Like he said early on, she had decided, or she didn't want the camera. Can y'all, either one of y'all clarify, so, like, she didn't want the cameras on?
I think she accused him of acting differently when the cameras were off.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's saying that he's not the only one that did that. She also acted that way. They were both acting differently when the cameras were not on, which seemed to be kind of a prevailing theme throughout the second. But like, you know, that I wasn't the only one acting different when the cameras were off. She was too.
Yeah. So it was fine. We were both doing it.
I see the solution here. Just do what The Bachelor does and keep them mic'd at all times.
Right.
Have them on camera at all times.
Exactly. It should be so simple. but Zach doesn't want any more trivial conversations like he jazz with her, and he said he would have been fine going on stage with her, laughing at clips, and then talk about where they are now. He said now he's just focused on himself. He says he doesn't know about the marriage thing anymore. He said all he knows is no matter what, he's having kids. So no matter how that happens, he wants it to happen, but he's not so sure about marriage.
Well, okay, that's kind of out of left field. Yeah, the whole time he's saying that, and Michaela's like, oh no, Zach, don't say that. I'm like, Michaela, what are you, like, I can't understand where you're coming from, Michaela. Like, one minute you're jumping down slowly, like, oh, don't say about marriage, Zach, you'll find somebody. It was so weird to me. And throughout this whole part of the reunion, it kind of clicked for me. Mm-hmm. Like, Zach really kind of reminds me of Chris from last season.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like, in the way that he's kind of stringing her along in certain ways, mm-hmm. he's saying things to her that's like, you know, oh, but maybe we can talk about it. Maybe our relationship will go further. But I don't want to stay married to you, but maybe our relationship is safe, can do this or that. Even when he's signing off to her, he's like, well, call me anytime. You know, I'm here for you. No, Zach, just end it. Just leave. Mm-hmm. Just say that we're not right for each other. Go on about your day. Because the whole season, he kept stringing her along. Like, especially mm-hmm. decision day, where he's like, you know, I love you, you're an amazing woman, this, that, and the other thing. But no, I don't want to stay married. Like, what is this girl supposed to think? You're saying these things, and it's the same thing that Chris was doing to Paige last season.
Very true. I mean, I think that, you know, this situation that Zach was trying to have with Michaela post-decision day is a situation you can have with someone, but not when you've been married to them previously. Like, I was talking to my mom about the reunion. Well, we actually watched it together. And she's just like, no, like what he wants is not possible because they've been married before. Like, there's no way there's not going to be some sort of confusion or like miscommunication. You like usually or most oftentimes the end result in like a relationship that goes the distance is marriage. So if you've reached that point, you can't go all the way back to like the talking stage where you're friends and just hooking up or whatever and think, oh, everything's going to be fine. Especially when you've already at least verbally said that you love each other.
Yeah. And in this short 2 months, they have so much baggage to like, kind of get through. Like, I just think it's the best for both parties, just like walk away and be like just done. But they mm-hmm. continued the shenanigans after decision day, which led into more explosive fighting and more explosive something else, but that's another thing.
Yeah, so that was all we got from them, from their own their solo segment. Then they gifted us now with the Johnny and Belle segment. So this was your friend, Jason, Kevin Frazier, was like,
my friend, I defended him from you last week on Twitter, talking about how he was a great host, which I still think I like Kevin. And an underrated Kevin segment when Zach is talking about how, you know, they hooked up in the 4 days and Kevin's like, so you had sex with her, do you help her? Like, that's why I love Kevin, because he tells them like it is. Yeah. But you, Asia, hate Kevin for some reason. I don't get it, but okay.
it's not a hate. I mean, it's like I was talking to Amy. We were talking last week about just some of the things he says. I'm just like, it's out of left field, but I do like that he goes there.
Yeah, I think we could, with so many reunion shows, they don't like touch on anything and they won't call people out or like they clearly haven't watched the show. So I like that, you know, he puts in the work.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amy.
I mean, it's not like like Real Housewives of Potomac. I don't even watch that show, but I know that Nicki Minaj hosted the reunion this season, and it's because she watches and she's so invested. So I thought that that's funny. But I doubt
it's not like a reunion host, like on the challenge where they've never watched the show a day in their lives and they're like reading off cue cards, like they're asking people what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, your name's Josh, right? So Kevin Frazier was like, y'all were the perfect match. And Val was like, no, we weren't. Right. We had some mental differences. So it's like, okay, that's one way to put it. Johnny did admit, like, he came in here looking for the ideal marriage. And, you know, he realized that was like his flaw. And Bao says she's great now. She's glad that it's done. And Johnny's happy that even though he left with a divorce, he has a good group of friends. And the only time they see each other now is when the whole cast meets up, which I predicted for them. There's no need for any interaction outside of that.
Yeah, I mean, to look ahead a little bit, like, I wonder when it got to a point where, like, Bao didn't even, like, acknowledge Johnny's existence.
Yeah, like, they could sit side by side, and then all of a sudden,
right?
You know, they can't be in the same, like, get together. So, yeah. But I guess that happened for a couple other, like, Brett didn't show up, and I was like, well, what's the issue? Your whole thing was, you and Ryan are just, like, chill buddies, you know? Like, we're cool, but then it's like, no, I'm not going. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was after, like, she didn't realize they hadn't had this conversation yet that we got in, like, the next couple of segments where they kind of, you know, butted heads again. And she may have realized, like, OK, there's no point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they also threw in an extended scene, which I felt was very awkward. Like,
very awkward.
Like, see you guys. Like, sexual tension.
Right. Yeah. Like, this extended scene of them playing doctor and patient, like, leading up to having sex. And it's like, why would you play? What was the purpose of playing this extended scene production? Because this couple is done. There's no sign of getting back together. So how is that fun?
I think they still want to prove, like, you guys had something, like, we weren't totally off with this match, you know, because now she'll say, like, oh, we're, like, not the perfect match. We're terrible. But, you know, you go back to the wedding, they have a clip of it, like, oh, this is the dream match. Like, they were thinking that as well. So they're clinging to it.
Yeah. It was they're like, look, you're looking at each other. You liked each other.
Yeah. Why didn't they do that with all of them, like, then? Like,
exactly. Imagine any of your exes. They're like, look, there was a point in time you liked each other. Why aren't y'all together now?
Like, you guys were cordial, got along for a minute. Why aren't you having it right now?
Like, things don't happen. Especially when your name is Johnny. Mm.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
So we find out that he thought things kind of shifted for him after they had his individual talk with Dr. Pepper and she talked to Pastor Cal. So he's talking to Dr. Pepper. He thought that there was a chance. And after she talked with Pastor Cal, she was done. Mm-hmm. It was like, those conversations happen way too late in the process for you to be shifting gears.
I mean, that, like, wasn't the meeting after Dr. Pepper right after, like, when Johnny, like, when they were in the coffee shop and he was like, I just don't find you attractive, or he said something. Mm-hmm. Another thing utterly ridiculous that Johnny said throughout the whole season. Like, at that point, like, you had already put her down so much and made her feel, like, so unwanted by you. Like, it was over before then, Johnny. Like, that's when you decided it was over? Like, it was over before that.
Right. It's like, and I can't even blame the experts for, like, intervening too late in the process. That's totally on him for not, like, giving Bao an adequate chance from the beginning. We also find out that he felt like he could never speak his mind with her. He said they had agreed very early on in the process that if they had, like, disagreements, they would talk it out off camera. before talking about it on camera, or like not talk about it on camera at all. And we find out that Bao did not want to talk about their sex life on camera and that they actually hid when they truly consummated their marriage.
Well, this is where I found like my new insight into Johnny. Like, Johnny is kind of camera hungry. Like, I learned throughout this whole thing. Like, Johnny is very, like, because according to him, there's no relationship off camera. Like, they can't, like, oh, she didn't want to talk about anything on camera. Like, okay, but you still have a relationship off camera. You were still husband and wife off camera. You're still having these important talks off camera. You're still having them. You're just not having them on camera. But he wanted the whole thing on camera. He wanted their, he, you know, he says this flowery language, like, I want our whole relationship to unfold on camera. I would have loved for it to unfold on camera. I'm like, well, okay. And not everyone's comfortable with that. And given what Bao said, this whole reunion, she apparently like pushed her limit even further than she probably even wanted to. Like, like that role play scene. I would imagine that that's something that she probably didn't want on camera, but she didn't.
Yeah.
So he's just, he didn't want to say, he didn't want to talk about things off camera because then he wouldn't get his camera time. I don't know. Like, it was, it was crazy to me that he said that. Like, so you only want your conversations on camera. For what reason? Like, it's still a relationship off camera. You're just not having a date.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, if y'all came to that agreement, then where's the compromise? Like, there has to be some sort of compromise. You can't just have this agreement that they're going to talk things off camera and then move forward with the being angry that y'all aren't like talking it out on camera. Like, that's not what y'all talked about. If that truly was the agreement. He's also upset that, or he's still upset that she tries to present herself to look good. And this was one of the points Kevin Frazier was like, well, Bao, can you see how he sees you as fake? like he's trying to make her mad. And then this is where we got to a very interesting conversation that I was like, okay, I have a perfect comparison. He was like, Johnny was basically saying that Bao planned all of their conversations that they would like have on camera. And I feel like Bao was a little tripped up because it was like, what are you talking about? Like, okay, yeah, if I'm upset about something, of course, I'm not going to walk into it having not thought about a single thing that I'm going to say, right? That's like someone coming to ask us, do y'all plan out what you're going to say on a podcast? It's like, okay, I watched the show and took notes, but did I know I was going to be saying these exact words in this exact order? No. I just felt like he was trying to paint her into just some master manipulator just because he was in a position where he didn't know what to say whenever they had these difficult conversations.
Yeah, I didn't really understand what exactly he meant by that. Like, when you say plan your conversation, does that mean like, oh no, I don't want to have this conversation without it being on camera? Or like, she just... maybe she wrote down what she wanted to say, like to get her thoughts in order. Like, I didn't know what exactly he meant there by planning out the conversation.
Yeah. And producers, it's like, you know, with any of these shows, it's like they'll tell them like things that you're supposed to talk about, you know? So I think they know like things that they have to talk about on camera when they're going to come by or what the experts are going to do. So I think it's only natural to sort of be like, oh, okay, that will be a good time to bring up this. And I don't know. So much like his common line that he always says is like, there's so much I want to say, but you know, it's like, I feel like he never backs it up with anything. So like, even if she was doing something off camera, just like say what it is, you know, like I feel like we never actually get anything tangible. And so maybe it's like, he's using that as like, okay, I wish we had cameras to show how she really is, but there's just nothing to back it up.
Yeah. Something I thought about was like, well, maybe like thinking about it from Johnny's perspective, like he said that and she's like, well, just say it. And yeah. I'm wondering if he was like tripped up by like, okay, well, I don't know exactly what I'm allowed to say right now because we've had this, you know, this talk about what I'm allowed to say and not allowed to say, but you're here telling me right now to just say it. So like that, from that perspective, I kind of got what Johnny was saying. Like you're right now saying on camera that like, you want me to say what I want to say. But what I want to say was something you told me I wasn't allowed to see on camera. So I'm confused. So from that perspective, I can see where Johnny's a little frustrated. if that is what indeed right. what was going on.
Yeah. Ugh, it was that was just frustrating. Because I was like, Bao was trying, and Bao is a very analytical, detailed type of person. So you can't throw the fact that she loves Excel spreadsheets into just her way of communicating and wanting to have a conversation, and the fact that she's kind of thought through what she wants to address beforehand. Well, I guess on that same note, Amy, what you were talking about was that he was like, so much of their story was not on camera, and he feels like he bent to her off camera. And I'm like, okay, can we just stop talking about off camera? Because that can never be proven. It's your word against hers. We can move on. Mm-hmm. But he's stuck on that. Mm-hmm. And then we find out he was drowning. He said he didn't stay at the apartment the last 2 weeks of their marriage, but still managed to say yes on decision day.
This guy's new name is Johnny Drama. Like, that's what his name is. That's just all he wants to bring to this. It's like, he says these things like, oh, I was drowning. Like, okay, calm down, bro. Like, yeah. You know, and like you said, like, he didn't live there for the last 2 weeks. He probably didn't speak to her very much. Mm-hmm. And then he just comes to the decision day, like, oh, yes. Like, what?
Come on. Yeah. Yeah. He said whatever Bao was doing to him worked, because he was a broken man by the end of this. And he said, you know, he said yes because he said yes on decision day because he thought that Bao would be a different Bao off camera, like once the camera stopped rolling. And the chemistry wasn't there for him at the beginning, but he's continued to try because they were married. I don't know what the trying was, what trying looks like for him, but yeah, that was Johnny's side of things.
But I would see if you had a conversation leading up to decision day about that, like, hey, like I think he kind of laid it out, like, hey, so this camera thing isn't working for me, but maybe mm-hmm. once the cameras are, you know, away, you'll be different. And then Bao could tell him, like, no, I'm not going to be different. I'm going to be the same. Mm-hmm. She just told him at the union, and then he can have the information there to say no, because he knows I'm not going to be different.
Right.
Be bothered to talk to her for like
2 seconds.
A minute. Yeah. Like, and he would have figured that out, found that out.
Yeah. Now that we talked through all this, I did realize we did get quite a big segment for Johnny and Bao. So I take back my beginning like statement.
Two commercial breaks, like during the whole thing. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a little.
Right. So Bao is happier now. She said all she learned was that she was surprisingly patient in that marriage. Johnny has started therapy. He has started to date again. He's been dating someone for a month, but I don't know if that's still the case, because he did not mention someone on the Where Are They Now.
I wanted that too. I was like, and my other thought was like, so if you're in relationship therapy right now, mm-hmm. should you be in a relationship? That's what I'm wondering. Like, if you know that you are bad enough in relationships that you need therapy for it, maybe take a break from dating. Like, you literally just got divorced and now you're in relationship therapy. Maybe you should sit for a minute, bro. Like, just chill. Like, go through your therapy stuff, come out a better man, hopefully, and then go into a relationship.
Right. That overlap can't be good. Just like, because he did keep saying like, oh, it's so hard to talk about these things again because I've already talked, like, I've gone through that healing through therapy. But I'm like, the fact that it is still making you so upset, maybe y'all should just dive deeper into it.
He's saying the same garbage he was saying before relationship therapy.
Yeah.
So what is this therapy doing for you, I wonder? But
yeah. Maybe he's trying to just move at a faster pace. Like, he knows what he should be doing. He knows therapy is the right place for him right now. But he's like, okay, let's move this along. We can knock this out in 4 weeks. I'm good.
Yeah.
I think he's like therapist hopping until he gets somebody that is like just going to side with him. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it was like his That's first thing. Like, I went through one session with you and you didn't tell me what I wanted to know next.
Yeah.
Like, right. You know, we know he's a notorious first dater. So.
Right. And so Bao said she has gotten a date. Kevin Frazier starts to suspect that the woman that Johnny is dating is Mirla, because there's been rumors, and he's like, oh, no, I hang out with Mirla a lot. Like we're just really good friends, but no, we're not dating. And he says that Bao is a great catch for the right guy. And he brings up how Married at First Sight Australia does like the swapping thing, which
they don't, right?
Like the swapping happened was a couple basically
cheating.
Yeah, they were cheating.
That was like a one season like thing. Like they don't actually get married either. It's like an experiment, but they have a wedding and they invite people, but there's not that like legally binding language, you know.
It was like a fake wedding or what?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I guess the wedding without like the marriage certificate part piece of it.
Yeah, they don't have to get divorced.
Yeah. So I'm like, Johnny, that wasn't like an official part of your, this is like through the, you're just hearing this. You didn't watch it directly.
And apparently he was bringing this up throughout their whole time. Like he was bringing it up to the other, like,
yeah.
Husbands, like, have your shot at Bao. Like, we'll see.
I wonder how many times he said that about, like, wish you were Mirla.
Right.
But Kevin did ask Bao, and she was like, oh, yeah, I've been seeing someone, but I want to talk about it. I'm wondering if this is, like, shenanigans. Like, you know, again, are we, were Bao and Zach dating before the, you know, because they want us to think on the Where Are They Now special, they just started dating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if, like, we can call shenanigans on that, like.
Why
don't you want to talk about it, Bao? Because of that.
I think, to jump the gun, for anyone who hasn't seen it, Zach and Bao have now started to date. But then the Where They Now special, they try to make it seem like them filming it was his first time asking her on a date. And I saw stuff on social media, like Twitter and stuff. People were like, y'all really expect me to believe that was the first time he asked her on a date?
Right.
So probably not.
Yeah, like even just Ryan leaving on cue, like, all right, I've got to go do this and see you guys later.
And then she's like, oh, well, you seem so nervous. What's going on?
I've
seen enough sitcoms to know that was a setup.
Right. I've lived enough life and watched enough TV. Yeah, not too cool. And then we kind of end Bao and Johnny's segment off of like a hypothetical matching situation. Like they were saying they thought Brett and Gil would be a good match, and Johnny was saying he thought he would be a good match with Mirla and Rachel. And then Bao saying like she doesn't think her and Zach would have been bad. And I was like, they basically just kind of pointed out the friendships.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Brett and Gil, like I think that could be a thing. I like that.
I like it too, but I wonder. I don't know. It's so hard because we don't know Brett. We have watched 19 episodes of her, and we don't know a thing about her. So
I just feel like she's easygoing. Gil's kind of easygoing. Like, it's just from that aspect, I think it's like. No, she doesn't seem too high end.
Which was his main issue with Mirla. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I give it a shot, guys. Give it a shot. They have some chemistry in the Where Are They Now segment there. I give it a shot.
why not? We did get like an. What?
I said, I have decreed it. You have to get together now. I said.
Right. We did get a segment with all the ladies, and they just kind of like talking about the bachelorette party. The only thing that I thought was interesting, Kevin was like, hey, Brett, isn't it ironic that you haven't been intimate for 2 years, but you're the only one who didn't consummate your marriage? Like, that's
now, Asia, I side with you on this. Okay. We didn't need to go through all that. I mean, we could have shaved 15 minutes off the show by just scrapping this whole segment.
The whole thing.
But that's the Jason that watched 4 hours of Married at First Sight talk.
I definitely could have done without that segment. Is there anything you wanted to call out from that? Yeah, Amy?
Was this when they also talked to Jose about his type and the rumors?
Oh, yeah. I hadn't heard that about, like, people thought that about him.
Oh, yeah. So towards the end of part two, they got the whole group together.
Oh, it was the whole group. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. But yeah, there had been rumors apparently that I think I had seen some things about maybe like people saying like, is Jose, like, which team does he play for? But there's been nothing that he's done specifically throughout the show that has indicated that. It's just basically people thinking they have a good game and just putting that on him.
I'm thinking that was maybe from the matchmaking special or something, you know, before you see him interact with Rachel or something. And but it just seemed like for certain people, they were really stretching for things to talk about.
Oh, one thing I did clock from that segment is that Michaela does not like Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Did y'all catch that? Because, like, you know, she's talking about how she doesn't like Ryan because he was too invested in Michaela and Zach's marriage.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I was trying to... She's like, he was so invested in our marriage when he should have been focusing on his own. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, can we trace Ryan? Is he the one that's breaking down all these marriages? Because wasn't he, like, the bad influence on Johnny, too?
Yeah.
We need, like, a chart. Have Ryan in the middle, point to all the couples to kind of see... What was his impact? this was also the first time that they had learned about Rachel and Jose. It was either breaking up and getting back together or just the fact that they had gotten back together.
I think they knew they had broken up, but I think it was the news that they were going to try and make it work, I guess.
And then Rachel was completely shocked about Mirla and Gil. But she said after talking to Mirla, she completely understood.
That makes one of us.
Well, Mirla said she doesn't think he brought out the best in her. You weren't here to give your insight last week, Jason. So what did you think about Gil and Mirla breaking up?
Utterly shocking. Like, because I remember on the, wasn't the first part you met, I guess you want to call it the finale, when they showed the preview for the reunion, and I saw Gil and Mirla sitting totally apart, and like I was like, wait, what? I literally said, like, what's happening? Because that was like my first like indication, like something went wrong here. And then just for her to come and be like, yeah, you know, I wasn't attracted to him. It was like, how is that even possible? Because like, we saw you all over him on every segment that y'all were either in or in the background of. You were touching all up on him. You said that you found him attractive, even though he wasn't technically your type. So and this reunion did not help me get any further into understanding what, I mean, maybe it did because the experts kind of called her out on some stuff, but it didn't really get me any further into understanding her rationale.
Besides the fact that she's just completely over it at this point.
But why? Like, and
why was it the blind side?
Right. To give no indication to Gil, like, you know, and it seemed that the comments that he was making towards her were, you know, cutting her, were upsetting her, but she did not really confront about it throughout the whole marriage.
Right.
You know, if it's upsetting you, let him know, and I'm sure he will adjust his answers. I think he probably thought that he was light ribbing to her whenever he would say these things to her, and it wasn't like that deep. So, like, you gotta talk about it if it's upsetting you.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, I thought that was part of their dynamic because she would just kind of laugh with it. And like the diva thing, like, she was owning that at different times. So then to go and say, and he called me a diva all the time. And so,
yeah,
and we'll get to the Dr. Pepper segment, but Dr. Pepper wasn't for any grace at all. Like, she was cut into her. I understood, because, like, I think probably, you know, through the process, the experts were like, all right, well, we got one really solid couple in Mirla and Gil, but
exactly. It's like Dr. Pepper was that Tyra meme of like, we were rooting for you, we did get this Mirla package of just her, all of her, it was like the all of the best moments of Mirla complaining about everything. And they're like, we're just trying to slam it home one more time that we think Mirla is a diva. Yeah. I was like, oh, nope. I'm just going to laugh through this segment. Mirla as a person to me is she's unapologetically herself. Like Brett said, I am disappointed in how the marriage turned out and how she handled that. But as a person, marriage is, I think Mirla's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, for sure. I don't agree with how she ended it, but we kind of fell in love with Mirla throughout the season. Like, I remember when we first got on near the start of the season, like, oh my gosh, she's horrible.
Yeah.
And with everything. And like, as we're going to see, like, oh my gosh, she's actually really true to herself. She's, she's really awesome. Like, and she seems to have a kind heart. And, the end of the season is really kind of not only blindsided Gil, but blindsided me. And I'm sure everybody else.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Brett also pointed out that like Mirla is the type of person to take the clothes off of her back to give it to you. So she was basically trying to show like, okay, all the material things, that doesn't make Mirla who she is. That's something that she loves, that she loves shopping. She loves having nice things. But it's not her character. So I was glad Brett said that, because Brett is kind of the neutral party of this whole like dynamic.
Might as well be. She didn't have anything to do on the season.
Right.
Might as well be there for
somebody's got to be. Then we got the expert segment. So first they kind of gave their overall thoughts. Then they talked about a couple of the couples, and then they talked about the couples who decided to. They talked with the couples who decided to stay married. Because I was like, wait, why did they only talk to Rosé and Mirla and Gil? But then I realized, oh, they talked to the ones who said yes. So Dr. Viviana felt the best about these couples, but she said they can only do so much, which is true to an extent. I think that, there definitely could be some more support, which I know we said it all season, but get these past couples, these stars of couples cam, they need to be mentors. Help these people figure it out. Help these people learn how to stick it out. Help these people learn how to communicate. And the way they can learn best are from people who've been in their shoes before. It's like Pastor Cal being married. Yes, he can give thoughts and advice on what a longstanding marriage can be, but they're nowhere near being there. So they need to figure out how to navigate these chaotic waters of this 8-week experiment, which Pastor Cal has not done himself. He's been the outside looking in. So I think it's just like, please bring in these past couples. And now that they're starting to repeat seasons, there's no excuse for some of these couples to not even just be in the same city. New Orleans is not far. Okay. Imani and Woody, they could have driven to Houston and helped out some of these couples.
So I agree with that to a point. But most of these couple cam couples that are successful were pretty boring on their original seasons. It kind of continued to be boring, and nothing really went wrong with most of their relationships. It was kind of smooth sailing for them. So I'm not sure how they would be able to like really navigate these people through like really trying times, because most of them didn't have a lot of trying times. The only couple I can really think of that were like, kind of chaotic, are still successful. Jamie and Beth.
Yes.
That's the one couple that I can think of that is still going on today that really had a lot of struggles. It really had a very explosive dynamic to kind of lead these couples through. Like, what are Anthony and Ashley going to tell anybody? Like, things are great for us. What are Bobby and Danielle going to tell someone? Oh, things are great for us. I don't know. I don't know what you do, but we just agreed on everything each other said. I don't know.
Right. We were just the same person, so it worked.
Yeah. So, I get what you're saying about like being able to navigate the a constant camera time and how to navigate all that, how to get along with someone you just met. But most of those people were pretty much carbon copies of each other and never got in fights. So it was just like. It's like
And we weren't allowed to fight on camera.
Yeah, he locked me out of the house and then cussed me out later.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? I mean, they would be like, I don't know, dude. Like, that's awful.
Yeah. I mean, so, some of the later seasons, some of these couples that made it got to interact enough with the toxic couples. So, like, think of like a Brianna and Vincent. They were there the whole way with Chris and Paige. So it's like from the outside looking in, they could be like, look, I was there with this couple. And look, we didn't get there because we did this differently. So I don't know.
I see that.
Maybe even the new couples or the couples that are going through the experiment would just be easier to listen to someone who's done it before, no matter if they were perfect or whatever. It's just like, you know, getting advice from like a best friend as a compared to like, you know, a teacher. If you, it's like it's just a little bit different. I don't know.
I see that. I'm just, you know, it kind of like when we think about successful couples that have been in the show in the past, it's like they didn't really have a lot of obstacles. But I do see what you're saying, how it's like, but they've seen like four other couples that were probably toxic and know how they got through, so they can probably help them too. Maybe get with some couples that didn't make it. Get some advice from them too. I don't know.
They're like, you messed up by going on the show in the first place.
Right. I do think, like you guys have said throughout the whole season, it's like there wasn't a whole lot of expert intervention.
Yeah.
We had the one intervention with Pastor Cal on his car. Looked like he took a break from golfing that day to help out Johnny and Val, but there wasn't a whole lot there. There was like the midway point, you know, counseling, but there wasn't a whole lot of. And if I think of seasons past, I feel like there was a whole lot more interaction with the experts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a matter of being busy or if it's a matter of, okay, we want to only have a couple of episodes dedicated to talking with the couples and the experts. But if it's just, I wouldn't even be mad if we had a segment that they were FaceTiming a different couple each episode because they needed to intervene. As long as they're getting help in some way, some form or fashion. So they should at least workshop it on one of these upcoming seasons. Then maybe never do it again. We'll see. So they had high hopes for Zach and Michaela. The experts, they thought Johnny and Bao were going to be the best couple. Pastor Cal thought that Michaela was ready, but the process was like a lot for her. And Dr. Pepper said like Zach's reaction to a lot of the stuff with Michaela was horror rather instead of helper. And so I thought that was interesting. Let's see. So with Brent and Ryan, all they had to say really was that Ryan was still just acting like he was dating. Like found one thing he didn't like, on to the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, like for that, they were like, because Kevin was like, "Well, you guys knew that Brett and Ryan weren't each other's type." And they're like, "Yeah, but you know, we thought they could, you know, they had to draw the whole line." We're like, "Well, you haven't, you know, what you did before wasn't working, so try this out." Which I think is kind of a crazy logic for this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, in looking at the season as a whole and the couples, it was like, they could have themed this, you know, Married at First Sight, opposites attract, ? Because like, it seemed like all the couples were complete opposites. And it was just like, I feel like if you have a quote unquote type, which, you know, the whole logic of a type is subjective anyway.
Yeah.
But like, maybe, try that type, but maybe a little leveled up. You know, maybe there was something about the people you dated before that wasn't substantial. Maybe try mixing and matching with your type, like things you have common interests, things like that, and try that. Not like someone that's totally opposite of you. That I don't understand.
I feel like, you know, friendship should be the basis of a lot of relationships. And though it's like, if it's not even somebody that you would be friends with, how's that going to work?
Right, exactly. If someone you have no common interest with,
yeah,
you know, and you know, Brett and Ryan were the poster child for that this season. Like, they didn't have anything in common. Like, that's why it didn't work.
Right. The experts were all shocked about Zach, Gil and Mirla. They said they loved that their love story was a slow burn. But Pastor Cal thought that, like, what he was seeing from mainly from Mirla was complete fear. And then we get this extended clip of more of Mirla when she was drunk talking to Dr. Pepper.
I think she's a little more than drunk. I had some more fun at that dinner. Is recreational marijuana legal over there in Texas?
It is not.
I don't know. It seemed like you might have been partaking a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, those martinis were extra strong. If that was the only thing involved, because I don't know. that was just wild. She was stumbling over her words. She said Gil was getting ready for hot boy summer. Dr. Pepper had no idea what she was talking about. No idea what the reference was. People that don't know, talking about like Meg Thee Stallion, hot girl summer. And so I thought it was interesting here too, because what we were seeing was Dr. Pepper just kind of laughing about it all. But when we returned to get the expert's reaction, she was like, I thought it was a huge sign of disrespect coming to a serious convo that drunk.
Mm-hmm. Pep was not playing with her.
At all.
I tell you, he was ready to have it out with her right there. Well, that's why I love Dr. Pepper. She tells it like it is.
Right. It's just like, it's a fine line. Like, I could see Mirla, someone who is not as forthcoming with emotions and feelings and talking about them, wanting to be like, okay, I need to loosen up for this conversation with Dr. Pepper. But she went way past that line because, I mean, I'm sure they had to do so much editing.
Yeah, but, you know, they spirited away a couple of clips, like, we'll use this at reunion. This
will be fun. Yeah. This will be so much fun to watch at the reunion.
Because we all hate Mirla as a production.
anything else from you, Amy, about Mirla in this clip?
No, I don't have anything to add. It was funny. It seemed a little bit like revisionist with Dr. Pepper, like now that she knows that. Yeah. It's like she felt deceived. She felt blindsided by Mirla too. So
exactly. Yeah, if they had stayed together, I don't think Dr. Pepper would have said that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. So the experts moved on to Johnny and Bao. Dr. Viviana said, like on the exterior, Bao is like a very go with the flow person, but deep down she's not. And Pastor Cal said that Johnny was just over the top. And then with Rachel and Jose, Dr. Viviana said that like Johnny is controlling, which we know.
Mm-hmm.
So when Rachel and Jose came out, they basically just kind of talk about like how they get back into like their blow up. Dr. Viviana said they were being mean. Pastor Cal told him he sees anger in him that needs professional help. This was Dr. Pepper. So Dr. Pepper said like she sees anger in him that he needs professional help and she wishes for him to address that. So I wonder if this really hit him that like, okay, well, like she's telling me this directly because everybody else kind of been beating around the bush about this.
Right. And but I kind of thought his reaction was kind of like to wave it off. You could tell he was uncomfortable and didn't want to talk about it. So it was like, oh yeah. Yep. I get it. Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. And like, you know, and then fast forward to the where they now special, I was hoping to hear a little something about maybe he's getting some anger management, because I feel like I agree with Dr. Pepper for like in that situation where they were at what they were doing and how he was reacting was way, way over the top. I feel like he definitely needs some kind of anger management to help him with that.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with Dr. Pepper, and I'm hopeful that maybe he sought the help and doesn't want to say it on TV, but
right. Yeah, he tried to generalize and said like once they had broken up that, you know, he needed to do what he needed to do to make it work, and they're like, well, what was that? Like what did you do? we know that, like, from part one, that she had moved out of the house, and we find out from Rachel that she plans to gradually move back into the house when it starts to feel more like home. Because right now they're only seeing each other 2 to 3 times a week and only sleeping over with each other once a week. And Pastor Cal is just glad that they're working through it. And Dr. Viviana ends it with, like, she thinks that they have a shot with some professional help.
Kind of felt like this is in day part two, because they were like, so are you going to stay married or are you going to get a divorce? Like, right. I was just like, the dramatic music to pop in, like, so Rachel, do you want to stay married or get a divorce? Like,
yeah.
I saw it because they use that exact verbiage. I thought it was funny when they said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we moved on to Gil and Mirla with the experts. So Dr. Pepper, very confused. She is so confused. They give a flashback to show, this is another call from production. I'm like, why did y'all do this? This is them just trying to show, look, everything was good. But they give this flashback. Mirla saying all these great things about Gil, talking about how she prayed for the things that he does. He brings her flowers every week. He makes the bed. And Gil is actually tearing up. Like, I literally, like stabbing, my heart was baking.
Like, stabbing Gil in the heart. Like, this is all great things she said about you, that she dumped you a few weeks later.
Right.
And I gotta say, I wasn't here last week, but this Gil, like, swag he's got with the beard, like, I was calling him Bill. Like, it's just, like, evil twin. And, like, decked out in this, like, expensive clothing. He's got the beard. Like, oh, this is, like, your evil twin. You know, Bill. Totally here. Like, that's what I'm calling him, is Bill. Like, oh, my gosh, it's swag. Like, I guess he wanted to kind of, like, see, I can wear expensive clothes. I got money.
Right.
See, Mirla?
Yeah. Yeah, and we get to learn why he was allowed to grow the beard.
Yeah, right. In the Where Are They Now special, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. He is studying to be a paramedic. And when you're a paramedic, you can have a beard. So that answers all those questions. People are like, is he even a firefighter anymore?
That's like a bum. Right. Going to beard.
His fire station is paying for him to go to school to be a paramedic. So that is that's pretty cool. So let's see. So yeah, we know that Gil was very blindsided. He's just like, at this point, he's crying. He's like, he has not cried the entire experiment, but this is just like heartbreaking for him. But she says she was honest from the beginning about her attraction and that he truly did make her happy throughout the process. And so Dr. Pepper is like, she's pressing now, like, I want specifics about what changed. And she's like,
Pep wants specifics, damn it.
Right. Like, always, like, specify, please. She said for her, it wasn't just finances. She said there were things that happened since decision day that made her feel unsafe. And I was like, what do you, now I need specifics, more specifics about what you just said. What does that mean? So yeah, Pastor called out the fear that he could see in her. He said, like, when he met his wife, he was broke and then they built together. And so Mirla said, like, for her, it came down to finances, attraction, and chemistry.
And things they both value, which was, like, again, more vagueness. I was like, what exactly are you trying to say? Like, I don't understand.
Right. It was something she wasn't saying. Like, I'm not, I can't take this at face value. There's something that was left unsaid for her to be so over this at this point. Mm-hmm. But I was like, Pastor Cal said marriage, he was like, marriage may not be for you. And she's like, well, maybe not. So I don't know.
Maybe that's why she and Johnny get along so well.
Right? Yeah. They're just like, well,
it's, I mean, not for him.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I think I wish we had some answers. I wish she could clarify, because what's left unsaid? Well, I mean, is there anything y'all could speculate? Like, was it just that? I mean, I remember last week I said I thought that it was just like the cameras went away And she thought something would change and it didn't.
Yeah, I thought maybe she was acting a little for the cameras, maybe, like, in hindsight. But I didn't feel that at the time. Yeah. You know, she mentioned things about things they value together and how she didn't feel safe financially with the decisions he would make. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, like, they just, like, he wanted to spend money on something that she didn't agree with, and that this kind of was the last straw. I don't know. Like, maybe he wants to give, like, some, he wants to give all the money away to charity or something, and she's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. So we did get the big group all together. And Johnny misses filming. So
again, camera
says a lot.
So much. So Zach feels very indifferent on about being on stage with Michaela.
One of the worst things you can say is that you're indifferent to someone.
Yes.
Like, even worse is saying that you hate them, that you're indifferent to them. I'm like, okay, Zach.
Yeah.
And then Michaela follows up with, like, well, I'm fine. Like, like, you two are just like high school. It's like, not even high school, like middle school. How, like, petty and childish y'all are, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Rob brought that up on the feedback show this week with Shannon. He was like, hate is a closer emotion to love than, like, indifference. Yeah. Which is like, yeah, that's so true. So indifference is just the worst. Like, you just don't care. Like, at least if you hate something, you have an emotion. There's fire. There's passion behind it.
Right.
But yeah, he just wanted to kind of hit her where it hurt. We find out from Ryan that he's been chirping back on social media.
Oh, that totally fits. That totally fits. I can believe that for sure.
And I think it's been like, it could be Twitter, it could be Reddit, because he was like, people don't believe it's him. And then they're like, oh, wow, it is him. And I have seen a couple people. I saw Rachel and Mirla on Reddit. So I bet you Ryan is deep into Reddit.
Yeah, I bet he's deep into some Reddits for sure. if you get my drift. But so, like, when do y'all think this reunion was filmed? Like, where do you think the airing schedule was when this was filmed? Because that kind of, like, was interesting to me, like, where they are in the film.
Yeah.
The airing schedule.
Right. I think it was around September. Did you hear otherwise, Amy?
No, I didn't ever get the timeline on it.
Let me see.
Like, Val mentioned the showering thing, which was pretty early on. Maybe like episode 4 or 5, maybe.
Yeah. I thought I had seen somewhere that they had filmed it sometime in like September, but that could be wrong. I think it was definitely like beginning of the fall, though. I don't think it was like summer. But yeah, Bao did confirm she does shower daily, which I was like, yes, this is, I'm glad she clarified, because that's what I assumed. She doesn't shower like four times a day.
Like, bro, you shower 3 times a day? Come on.
Yeah.
I come after Johnny, not Bao. Like, I mean, listen, I'll be honest with y'all. There's some days I miss a shower when I'm at home doing nothing all day.
Yeah.
Maybe doing too much TMI. But I'm just going to tell you, like, that just happens sometimes.
Yeah.
I know. He's like getting off of like scot-free on like his like strict, you know, like he's just kind of playing it off as if like, oh yeah, I was the one that was like, yeah, I was just asking her to take a I was going to take a shower, you know, once a week.
Right. Then we get Kevin asking about Gil's DMs.
Okay, here's my question.
He's obsessed with guilt.
Yes.
Here's my question. Asia, are you okay with Gil spilling y'all's conversations like that?
In DMs?
Y'all's private DM conversations like that.
Every week that you're doing in your story, I'm available.
I was a little disrespectful for him to come out and talk about y'all's private communications like that.
That was not me posting weekly on my story about Gil.
Admiration
for Gil.
Like, if I look at Gil's DMs, am I going to see at Asia like Asia?
Right. Oh, my gosh. No, that was not me, you guys. We do not talk off air like, guys, I'm so glad Gil brought up my story.
We're not going to talk about what we talked about off air.
We agreed before this that we would not talk about what we talk about off air.
On camera and off camera.
On camera.
On mic or off mic.
But at first I thought it was a little weird that, you know, Kevin Frazier, like, it seemed like in every opportunity was just like, oh, you're going to do just fine. Like check those DMs.
You're
going
to be okay, Gil. You got to get them.
Yeah.
You're going to be up to your neck. In women, you're gonna get them. I'm like, okay, Kevin, calm down a little bit. I like you, Kevin. I'm trying to defend you. Calm down a little bit.
But I do appreciate it. He didn't say it to any of the other guys. It's not like Ryan. Like,
not
don't worry,
to Ryan, for sure.
Yeah. Only not. Gil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was determined to make Gil feel better. Like, oh, he wanted to so bad. He was just like, I need to put a smile on his face.
Oh, my gosh.
I blame him
because Gil was like pretty much breaking down sobbing every time you talked to him.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to make him feel a little better.
Yeah. But yeah, apparently there's one young lady who does 10 to 12 posts about Gil in her Instagram stories every
some
week.
Young lady. Who could it be?
No. And so, like, things like, oh, I'm only a flight away. We're meant to be. Oh, man. I bet she was so happy, though.
Oh, yeah. she was jumping up and down.
Right. But, yeah, then we heard about, you know, Jose's types, that whole thing. But they were kind of trying to skirt around it. But then Michaela was the one to come out. Yeah. She's like, oh, I.
Yeah, I didn't understand. Well, they were talking about that first, and then Michaela said something about gay daughter. I was like, I didn't catch that. I didn't think that at all.
Yeah, they were definitely trying to like say it without saying it, and Michaela went there. She's like, I have a good gaydar, and I don't see that with him. So they tried to put that to rest. And then we find out there was like a volleyball team that they put together with Zach, Brett, Mirla.
Johnny, of course,
and Johnny, yes, and they played volleyball together and they did pretty well. One of my friends was in a volleyball league. I'm going to have to ask her, was it I think it was co-ed. I'm gonna ask her if she's seen have you seen any of these people? did your team play against them?
Premarital sets.
Yes, premarital sets.
I feel like Johnny came up with that name. That's just like a name Johnny would come up with.
It's kind of clever.
It's pervy like Johnny likes to be.
Right. We find out that Johnny and Mirla were in Cancun. They both happened to be there for different reasons.
Gil faces during this whole thing.
Yes.
Bill's about to come out and wrangle Johnny's neck.
Right. Do you think there's more to that their friendship, Amy?
I think they like suggesting that there is. I don't think there is, but I think they like that's like their way of combating what else has happened with the other part of the cast. You know, like there's like these two factions of the cast, and like I think it's sort of like they like the attention on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Johnny wishes there was something.
Yeah.
Probably denied him a couple of times.
Right. But she like, she kind of sees him as like adorable and like, oh, like a puppy Johnny. He's so fun.
Best friend.
Yeah. Right. When they're like the same age. Mirla and Johnny are BFFs because they just get each other, quote unquote. Gil looks so unhappy. Kevin asked him, what do you think of this friendship? And then he's like, I think nothing of this friendship.
I'm indifferent.
I'm like, Kevin, no, just go back to talking about the girls in his DM. So they talk about, they bring up Michaela at the retreat, and I thought it was funny. Michaela's like, Kevin, like, let's not talk about this. But she said, looking back on it, it was like looking in a mirror. She does acknowledge that what she did wasn't okay, and she needs to learn how to calm down. But she does tell the story about how, like, her dad got hit with it. Her dad passed away because he was hit with a drunk driver. And so that kind of was on her mind when Zach was leaving the retreat. And so she was trying to explain that's where she was coming from, which I think at this point would have been perfectly okay for Zach to be like, okay, I hear you. Yeah. That's it. You don't have to say anything else. But he was like, no, I left for me. I had to get out of there. I left for me. And she's like, you're not even listening to me.
Well, he says he wouldn't put his life in danger. He's not an idiot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so are you implying that Kayla's dad was an idiot?
It was every word felt so insensitive. Like, yeah, and I know it's because he's over her, but it was just like, there's some level.
Well, they were showing the footage of Michaela, destroying the property of their retreat. He was like laughing during it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, Zach, come on, man. Like,
I know.
I have a little class, I have a little decorum. Like, mm-hmm. Not a good look at all.
Yeah, that was rough. Michaela says she never cared about, or he never cared about her. And he kept trying to talk. She's like, you don't care. Shut up.
Like, yeah. Oh, and then he's like, and then like Kevin stops everything. And he's like, all right, let him talk. Like, Zach, you want to apologize? And then he's like, no comment. I'm like, oh. Again, yeah. with the petty child stuff, like, just say you're sorry and move on. But now you have to be like, no comment. I'm fine. I wasn't. Yeah. Like, these two just need to stay far away from each other for the rest of their lives.
Far, far. Yes. Then this is kind of where things shifted, because Kevin was like, all right, who, now that most of you are single, who do you think would have been better suited for each other? And Gil's like, all right, I'm out. I'm not feeling too good. Yeah, I'm gone. And Michaela leaves as well. And
what did you think of the Michaela storm out after Gil? I felt like that was just a little bit of attention grab thing.
Well, I think on the Where Are They Now, it kind of helped paint the picture because they're friends. I don't know if they started becoming friends after this.
Yeah, we didn't get any of that during the season. Like, I don't remember a single time where Gil talked to Michaela.
Besides, like, the salsa dancing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Maybe he was out.
Yeah, I think she wanted an out anyway. So it was like, yeah. Ooh, we're leaving? Okay, perfect.
Right. Yeah.
I think she was upset that he did it before she could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While we're talking about the whole cast being there together, I want to talk more about the fashion.
Mm.
I loved Brett, and I'm a big comic book guy, so I love the Poison Ivy cosplay that Brett had going on. Like, she has like the green dress, the red hair. I'm like, oh, that's Poison Ivy right there. I just wanted to slip it in there before we got out of the room.
Yeah, I love the color, but. Yeah, I didn't know how I felt about it on her.
Oh, I think I know what you're getting at. left little contrast to the imagination.
Yes. Yeah, I'm trying to think of anybody else. I think Michaela looked really nice.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Val looked great.
Yes. Val was always on point with the fashion.
Yeah, she knows that too. Like, she always draws attention to that.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe he's seeing me like this.
Right. So let's see. Yeah. So when Gil and Michaela left, and Gil was like, look, he tells Michaela, I'm a positive person, and I just, my energy is so crappy right now. I can't be that positive person. And people are being so nonchalant about the fact that they're not married anymore. He's like, I came into this looking for a spouse, a monogamous relationship. And this right here is not conducive to me. And Michaela's like, it hurts. It really does. Like, you're not mad that you're not married anymore.
Now, y'all, like, the little devil on my shoulder is whispering into my ear. Okay. How, like, Is Gil being 100% like genuine, do you think?
I think so.
I feel like he's playing up for a little bit of sympathy, if I'm being honest.
I think he truly did love her. I think he felt.
I think he did. Yes. All of that. Yes.
Okay.
But I felt like in this reunion, he was really kind of playing up, like how like blindsided, how devastated he was. He can't even control himself.
I think what hurts the most, though, I think he may have not been as broken down if she was also grieving their relationship. Yes. But the fact that she did not care an ounce. That was just that hurt so much more. That was like throwing salt on the wound.
And like I said, the devil's on my shoulder, whispering in my ear, right? Different bad things. I just wanted to put it out there. You know, it felt a little over the top at times to me.
Yeah,
I just wanted to put it out there.
No, I think it was all genuine. I don't know why.
Something. Okay, I will agree with you, and I just like I knocked the devil off. It was a moment. Okay, I did like when Gil left and Johnny said some stupid crap that Rachel was like, Johnny, back off. I'm like, thank you, Rachel. Thank you.
Which was funny because I'm like, oh, it's because they're friends. Like, she can call him out like that. So I was thankful someone did. Because Johnny's like, oh, he didn't like that question. And then Ryan out of nowhere was like, okay, well, that's going to be a while. So we should probably move on. First of all, you're not running anything. Who stepped aside and said, Ryan, you're now directing the reunion. So we'll go on your cue.
Ryan had to work out or something. Like he wanted to be gone. He got time for this.
Yeah. So those are the main things that I saw in this big group portion. Was there anything else that y'all saw?
I think we covered it, unless Amy has something else.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, yeah, because Gil and Michaela decided to leave at that point. Then they kind of looked at quote-unquote funny moments, but they didn't hold a candle to like the bloopers of like The Bachelor, so.
I did have one more thing. Mm-hmm. There was more confusion surrounding the Rachel Jose fight.
Uh-huh.
Where Kevin was saying like, and Jose, you didn't realize at the time that Rachel was just listing off the cast members.
Yeah. I was like, what
happened here? Like, what were they doing? What are they talking about? Like, I still like, there's a lot more confusion thrown into this. And I don't know if we'll ever know what actually happened there. It was so weird to me.
Yeah, it's like, does this apartment complex they have not have security cameras?
Then we could, like, on the roof or whatever they were.
We could read their lips. There's no audio. Because, yeah, the fact that he said that, like, further confused me. Because I'm like, okay, then Jose seems like he's completely out in left field getting mad like that. So I don't know. So then... after the reunion, that was just 2 hours. Then we get to the Where Are They Now special. So basically, it was catching up with each of the couples, or catching up with each person, really, because at this point, only Jose and Rachel are together. And Rachel and Jose want to do this getaway at the Wildflower Ranch, which is about, I think it's an hour and a half. I looked it up. It's like a wedding venue, actually. 50 miles. Yeah, it's like an hour and a half away. So basically kind of like the same area where the retreat was. Well, kind of.
For a minute, I thought it was the same place for a minute. But then I was like,
No. So Rachel and Jose wanted to plan a getaway for the whole cast to come. So this whole thing was kind
of
like.
Do you think Lifetime foot any part of the bill? Like, is this part of the why no one shows up? Or
I think Lifetime paid for the whole thing and Mirlo threw in some extra to get her own little cabin.
Right? Yeah. It's like, how did she swing that?
Yeah, you said Rachel and Jose wanted to set this up. Lifetime production wanted to set this getaway up.
Is Jose setting it up? He's counting this as like, this is our year-long vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was just odd. rather than just catching up in town, going to dinner. So we'll kind of attack this by person. So I'll get two people all the way who we didn't get much content from. Well, really kind of three. So Michaela, she has moved to a new townhouse. She says her and Zach do not talk at all and have not talked in several months. She's been working on herself. She's learned that she can move forward without an apology from Zach. And she feels like her dad sent Zach to her so she could break down the walls that she had built up since
his
past.
Why would your dad do that to you?
I don't know. It's like she just wants to rationalize it somehow, some way. But yeah, she's picked up shadow boxing. And because she doesn't want to have these like knee jerk reactions anymore.
I didn't really understand. I don't really understand how that really helps.
Yeah.
Other than you have techniques to use on people when you get mad at them.
Right.
But I mean, I guess to each their own. I'll say that. I don't want to yuck anyone's yum, but I thought that okay. Whatever you feel like you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So so really, that, I mean, we got, you know, the segment with her shadow boxing with her sister, and her sister says like she can see a change in her, and she hung out with Gil, and they are talking about how they have both decided not to go to this getaway because Michaela doesn't want to be around Zach. Gil doesn't see the point in him going. So I guess Gil is just like, I don't even want to like nurture friendships with you guys. So why would I even go? And like Michaela is moving forward, experiencing life as the new her.
Yeah. And she says new adventures, new endeavors, new man. I was like, maybe wait on that a minute. Maybe wait.
Just a tiny, yeah, a couple months. No, a year.
Yeah. Let's give it a solid year. See what happens. So like this whole special really made me like, cause I think about this kind of stuff all the time. Like the dynamics of the group, the mm-hmm. when there's not the cameras around, like, and we really got kind of an insight into it.
Yes,
I
we did.
I feel like Gil is like, you know, I'll talk with Brett and I'll talk with Michaela.
That's
outside it. Of that, I'm not really trying to be friends with these people.
Right. So like on that note, we have three friendships going on here. So we have Michaela and Gil and Brett, which it's really like Gil in the middle. It's not really Brett and Michaela. So Michaela, Gil and Brett. Then we have Mirla, Johnny and Rachel. Mirla, Johnny, Rachel, and Jose, which Brett is still friends with that group, but
Jose's kind of on the side.
Yeah,
they put up with Jose because he's attached to Rachel.
Because he's with Rachel, yes. Then we have Zach, Ryan, and Bao.
Shockingly, Ryan feels like he's kind of in the middle of all the friends.
Yeah.
I feel like he's friends with everyone, which is kind of shocking to me because I don't feel like Ryan has a real personality.
Right. Maybe that's why. It's just, yeah, it just fits in wherever.
He's like a blank slate. Like he can hang out with us. He's in the corner.
And it feels like Gil is like on an island.
it's like
Michaela.
He'll talk to Michaela and Brett because the show asked him to talk to Michaela mm-hmm. and Brett. Otherwise, he could not be bothered. Those are two people he would be willing to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah, so we did get Brett visiting Gil at the firehouse, and she said that they had created a quick, instant friendship, and this is where we find out about paramedic school, and Brett is telling Gil that Mirla has decided to get a dog, and he's like, okay, wow, he feels like that's a slap in the face, because he felt like it was a really big deal with her having to get comfortable with hype. He's like, he doesn't want to care. But he does. He's like, you know what? I'm done. And he's been going to therapy. Or he is going to start therapy. So
Gil, don't care anymore, bro. She just wants that right? guy. Let her go. Don't care about what she's going to do. I don't even know why Brett said that to you.
Production probably told her. Production said, why do you not want Mirla's dog?
Tell him. I don't want to. Don't know. Tell him. You want your stipend? Tell him.
Yeah. And he ended up meeting, we saw him meeting this therapist at the park, and she pointed out how he still had his wedding band on, and he was like, yeah, it's just a sign of me like being willing to fight. And she's like, well, don't you think it's time to put down your weapons? Because you're the only one fighting. So he finally takes the money ring off.
Last time. I'm fighting for something that's not there. That was a really interesting, session they had there. I really enjoyed that part of it.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I really hope he can, like, it keeps the, like, he keeps it up and it's not just like this one off therapist that the show could provide for the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made me think like they'll have a new spinoff in the works where it's like, right? Because now there's no successful marriages. So it's like, okay, ooh, having a new expert to help with moving on in the single life and taking your ring off.
I would love that. I would love that, Amy. Matt, yes. Single life.
Yes. They have the 90 day fiance single life. They need to do math single life.
Matt's like, divorces.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, let them navigate. Like, it doesn't have to be like second chances where they're matching them up and it's like a whole dating thing, right? Mm-hmm. Let this person just get the help they need on themselves. And then, you know, navigate the dating life. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm creating a short list in my head right now.
Yeah, it's gonna be on it.
Write an email to. I found out me and Dr. Viviana go to the same gym. I don't know if we go to the same location, but I was like, you know what? I need to just start going more often, different times a day. I'm gonna pitch all of this stuff.
Yes, get her on the pod.
Right. But really, that was it for Gil. And then for Brett, we literally got one segment where she went to a restaurant with her friends, which happens to be the same restaurant that Bao and Johnny go on a date at, called 1836.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, yeah. That was strange. Yeah. You don't usually see repeats. Now, Asia.
Yeah.
Give it to us. How far away is it from your house?
It is not far. I looked it up because I had never been. And I was like, how are they going to go there twice in one episode? Maybe it's just easier to film there. I don't know. But yeah, it's about 15 minutes from where I am. So
yeah, you got to get fire juggling show.
Right? So she's just talking about her friends about the failed marriage with Ryan and how she went into it with open mind, but he clearly didn't. So that was it for those three. So if we move into the next portion of the next group of friends, we can look at Ryan, Zach, and Bao. So they're all playing pool. It's become a tradition. That's what they do now. They play pool together. And so Zach just Ryan conveniently is like, all right, you guys, I'm heading out. And then Zach is like, Bao, he thinks Bao's an amazing person. She's always herself. He loves her giddiness. So he loves her giddiness, whereas Johnny hated it. and Zach has a question for her. And then he asks her out on a date. And Bao's like, wow, that was very bold. I'd be down for that. So as we discussed, we don't think this is the first time that he's asked her. Yeah, I can't imagine that. Unless that was his first time, like, officially asking her on a date. Like, maybe in the past, they've just, like, met up for dinner, and it wasn't just, like, this was actually a date where she's having a friend over, helping her get ready, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it felt like a huge setup. Like I said, it felt like, you know, hey, you're acting really shy right now. What's going on? Oh, nothing. I just want to maybe ask you out a little bit. Like, yeah. It seemed really set up, like it was production set up. So yeah, I'm sure they've been dating for like a month before this.
Yeah, it was like, it was too easy. Yeah. Unless they just have that much chemistry and it's, you know, but.
Listen, I don't know about you two, but I did not see the sparks flying. I saw more sparks between Brett and Gil than I saw between Zach and Bao. I don't know if I get it.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of with you. It seems like coming out of the traumatic experience together. What is that, a trauma bond or something?
Trauma bond.
Yeah, we're war buddies.
Yeah.
Like, we have to do it together.
Yeah. I think I'd want to be like Brett and just moving on from, like, I don't have any issues with anybody, but I'm still not going to go to the retreat. And
yeah.
Just not going to, yeah, date so anyone within this world.
All these people that chose not to go to the retreat. Protect your peace, please.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. It's tough for me because I'm like, maybe they're just not dynamic on the, like their relationship is not dynamic on the screen. Because I also was having a difficulty finding the spark, but I'm like, I'm not in it. I don't know what they're feeling. And the only thing I did notice is Zach is visibly happier. Like, I feel like I didn't genuinely see him smile this much with Michaela. And it seems easy for them to have conversation. Do I know if they have common interests? No. Do I know if they have any type of chemistry? I don't know, right?
Well, listen, Amy and Sarah could even pinpoint when you did a little quiz. What was it? A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it's just not a pair that I think you would naturally come up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. I don't know. I mean, I can confirm based on Instagram, they are still together today. So.
Okay, and I asked on Instagram, wasn't she like taking a bat to like a pinata, an effigy of Johnny?
Yes.
Oh my.
Oh. Literally, Zach was holding the pinata up. So he was there and it was like at her family's house. Yeah.
That's a little extreme.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So that
I get it, though. He did say some horrific things there. Like, I don't blame him.
Yeah. It's just funny that, like, Zach was there.
And, like, the Johnny was, like, wearing, like, a baseball hat and this sports jersey. Like, just, like, adding in, like, he likes sports.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. But, yeah, I was like, okay, well, something's working because, I don't know. It seems like they are hitting it off. So we saw their date, and like I said, they went to 1836, and they say, like, he's like, is it weird being on a date with me? And she's like, yes. He flirts a little bit, talking about he likes her yoga pants. And they agreed that they had the same intentions coming into this. And so, like, Zach is being very complimentary of her.
I would hope so, right?
Yeah. But yeah, if you're interested, yeah.
Yeah. Like, she was saying all these things, like, I guess because she was in the situation with Johnny where she wasn't getting a lot of that, like, now she's getting just a basic from Zach. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm falling head over heels.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, we did see only like 2 minutes of this whole date.
The date, yeah. They could have been there for a couple hours. Who knows?
Right. Yeah.
So before we got to the little getaway, we did get a segment for Zach when he was telling his brother about Bao, and he said, like, he feels like he has more in common with Bao and feels just more compatible with her. And his brother's like, well, do you think Michaela or Johnny will care? He's like, well, I don't think Michaela will. And I already know that Johnny doesn't care because he's been telling us the whole time.
He's like, take my wife, please.
Yeah.
Take her, please. Get off my head.
So, I mean, but based on all the unfiltered, I don't know how okay with it Johnny is.
Because they weren't they on? I remember seeing Unfiltered with those two on there together.
Johnny and Bao?
No, Johnny and Zach. And they seemed chummy.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that Johnny has, on all the Unfiltereds I actually watched, Johnny was very bitter towards Bao.
Well, yeah, I believe that for sure. But like this whole thing was like really kind of illuminated the Unfiltereds I had seen. Because, you know, I think you guys had mentioned before, like, where Mirla is, like, backing up what Johnny's saying about Bao.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this really, like, kind of shined a light on that. Like, oh, yeah, well, they're best buds now. So, you know, of course, Mirla probably doesn't like Bao. So that she's
going to agree with
what he's saying.
Right. Yeah. True. And then with the third party of this friendship, Ryan, we got a segment with him. Like Jose came over to his house and Ryan was talking about how he has a date coming up. And he said, like, even though it ended in divorce with Brett, he's still taking away some things that he was looking in a partner out of her. And so he has this date with this friend from Dallas. So this friend comes down from Dallas. Ryan has picked a sushi spot for them to go to dinner. And his date, Maggie, doesn't even like sushi. He's like, oh, wow, I should have asked about that beforehand.
This is Ryan's problem. Ryan, yes. You're still doing it. You're still doing it, yeah. Ryan.
You're not getting to know them at all.
Yes.
He dragged Brett to the movies after her dog died. And I appreciate you coming here, even though you didn't want to come here. And then he drags this woman to sushi, even though she doesn't like sushi. So why are you still there? Hey, you want to go somewhere else?
Right.
I know you don't like sushi.
Yeah.
Let's go somewhere else. Like, what? Ryan, stop. What are you doing? You're still doing the stupid stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And then speaking of not seeing
awkward.
Yeah, like not seeing chemistry. Not seeing chemistry.
I don't know where they got this woman from, but it seems like they just like picked her like on the sidewalk. Say, hey, you want to come shoot a segment for the show?
Like, yeah. I think she was like, TV? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh gosh. Like, it was, you could just, maybe it's because I have a predisposition to not like Ryan. But you could have just taken every Ryan segment and that's where they now special and just like threw it in the trash. I did not need any of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't.
Mm. So how far does she have to travel?
What are you saying?
How far of a trip is that for her to travel?
Oh, that's 4 hours.
That's a lot. She said she drove. Goodness.
To meet Ryan?
To go on a date?
And he was so awkward. Like, brings up a first date. Like, he's like, this is my first date since being married. He's like, I feel so comfortable with her. But I feel like we were seeing this like nervous version of Ryan that we never seen because he was more physically attracted to this woman. But it was like he was way more awkward than I've ever seen him. What is happening?
You can just tell he's like falling back into his old habits of dating these people that are physically attractive, but doesn't seem to have any real, like, I don't know, thoughts or opinions when he just told us that he wants someone that, you know, is comfortable being themselves. And when he was talking to Jose, he basically described Brett to a T. He was saying who he wanted. Mm-hmm. Someone that's comfortable in their own skin, someone had thoughts and opinions. But apparently he only wants people that have thoughts and opinions that are his, which is
exactly.
Which was why he was with Brett.
Yeah, and he talked about his marriage a little too much, and especially for like not being invested in it at all. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, from a certain standpoint, we understand that that's why the cameras are here. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of have to talk about it. This is the show you're on, but maybe this wasn't a great situation to make this first date. Like, maybe pick someone else. But go on your little app and pick one of the people there and had this date with them. Not someone that you're actually kind of interested in.
Right. Yeah.
They had to drive, you know, 4 hours to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have it confirmed that my suspicions that he just kind of wanted this as like an icebreaker, something for his personality, because his bio on Instagram is occasionally marry strangers on at Maff's Lifetime. So it's going to be what he is. It's like, it's just interesting tidbit about him. He's just a crazy guy.
He's so crazy.
I'm having awkward fire with me at dinner.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's funny. I did not know that was his bio. Oh my gosh. He's going to bring that up every day. There's no, there, when it's like a lot of people will run from that, they're like, oh, like, okay, this is what happened, but he's excited that this is now a talking point.
He's going to stream it on his phone and say, hey, check this out. So look what I did. Right? We're going to watch the whole season right here.
We got to watch episode 10.
Check this one out. I made her come meet me and move that her dog back.
Oh my God. So then we got the last set of friends, which is Mirla, Rachel, and Johnny. So Mirla had a
squad. That's the wow squad. I go.
Mirla had a pool party. She invited Johnny and Rachel. We found out like Mirla wants to get a small dog, and she specifies that her issue with Gil's dog was that it was a large dog. She doesn't want a large dog. She wants a small dog. We had this really awkward. Johnny put some spray tan on Mirla.
Oh my gosh. That was what they used to promote this
yes.
Special like there. 1,000 times.
Ugh. Yeah.
And question, was that pool really that spectacular? Was that pool that much better than the pool they had at the honeymoon? like we were lied to a little bit. Maybe she has a higher opinion of her pool than she would have wanted to really have.
That pool had a little range. It was like a different shape than just a rectangle. they talk about the getaway coming up, and Johnny doesn't know if he wants to go because thinking about arguing with Bao makes him sick.
Oh my gosh.
Like, you have not.
Johnny moved. Drama.
You have not. Because this Where Are They Now has clearly happened since the reunion. So I'm like, if you were over it, you wouldn't be this sickened by the fact that Bao's going to be there.
Sickened. Right. The man said sickened. He's sickened by being in the same space with Bao. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Get over it.
And then we see Mirla go to the pet land with Brett to get her dog. So I've seen a lot of stuff about Petland, negative press about Petland.
So I thought of this and was like, wouldn't it have been a little better, like publicity for the show, like go to a shelter right. or like a rescue or something? Because I had that thought when they went there.
Yeah. It wasn't the best look. because Petland apparently like has a reputation for unsafe practices and getting these puppies of like breeding in large numbers, and there's a lot of, just go out there and search Petland. There's a lot of information out there. But they did show them there. Mirla's looking for a 10 to 15 pound cute, small, cute, cuddly puppy. She ended up settling on a white and brown puppy whose name is Portia Fendi Feria.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, Portia Fendi. We have to add, Amy, we have to add that to our list of dog names this season. is that at the top or bottom of the list? According to our rankings, we had, we ranked it Hype, Nova, Maisie, Baxter, Bella, in that order.
I mean, if I'm just going Portia, like that is like a female name.
Yeah.
But I'd probably just put it just above Bella. I'd put it second to
really?
Last.
Really? Below Baxter?
Just because I think Baxter is cute, even though it's common. And you know, Baxter R.I.P.
Awesome. yeah. R.I.P. to a real one.
Mm-hmm.
The Portia Fendi, that's a lot. But Portia, I think it's funny when dogs have like human names, like Fred or
you got Pepper, Dr. Pepper.
yeah. Specifically because of Dr. No, just kidding. but Pepper would be above Hype on this list for me. Now, I literally took Pepper to daycare the other day and there was another Pepper. They were like, what's her last name? Oh. We have two Peppers today.
Oh my gosh.
Pepper Wolf.
Yeah. So let's see. So she got her puppy. She's very happy. So she took her to the retreat. So let's see if we had any other updates before the retreat. Jose met up with Rachel's friends.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Jose really came at this as like, this is something I have to do to make Rachel want to stay with me. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll grin and bear it and get through it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder if the friends had seen the actual altercation between them. I feel like they would have, if I'm thinking of like, you know, because it kind of went easy on them because they felt like they said they heard about it.
Yeah.
So it was odd to me that they hadn't met up with him before. Like, they were like, oh, since the wedding. You know, there was no time to meet the friends at this point.
Like, I feel like if you just heard about their confrontation, hadn't seen it. Like, I feel like if you had seen it, like we saw it, you'd have a much, like, harsher tone toward Jose. Like, I know I would if I was in friend's shoes. Like, I'd be... I think I said this before when I was on here. Like, I would have told Rachel just to run from this guy because that was the over-the-top reaction that was wholly, like, unnecessary. Yeah.
That is the prime example why it's so hard to tell friends about things. Because Rachel kind of brought this up, too, in the part two of the reunion, like, telling all the girls about the breakup. And then she forgave Jose. But then... like, your friends don't forgive. So it's like, it's a fine line telling your family and friends about the negative, and then you turn around and forgive that person, but your family and friends have not. So there's this weird dynamic like this where they're like, I don't know about you. So it's a tough spot to be in. Cause I'm like, I know plenty of situations where this has happened. Like, you hear that negative thing from like a friend's relationship, and you don't move on from it, but they have.
Yeah,
and you're like, So basically, coming out of that, they just want him to start taking some more accountability.
Which he never has. He never. He just never has taken accountability for that at all. He's like kind of mentioned it, like, oh yeah, it's kind of wrong. He's like, he's never said like, oh yeah, I flew off the handle and I had a. You know, I never should have done that. I'm so sorry. Like, he's like, yeah, I guess I kind of overreacted a little bit. That was well over overreaction, my friend. Like, that was a lot.
Exactly. Then we get this. We finally get to see Sarah with Johnny because he FaceTimes her. And surprise, surprise, her and Bao are not friends anymore.
I like the Chiron was Bao's former friend. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Sarah apparently has this comparison that Johnny loved, that Bao is like a cat where she only wants to be around you when she wants to. And her and Johnny are like dogs. They're just always lovable. It's like, what? Johnny, is this really how you look in the mirror? That's how you see yourself? Like, we could probably workshop a different animal for Johnny.
I call Johnny a dog, but for many different
reasons. Sarah said that he's just the male version of her. I got very flirtatious vibes from Sarah. I feel like Sarah's into Johnny, but Johnny sees Sarah as a friend.
Which makes you think, why are so many women into Johnny?
There's something we're not seeing through the screen.
I really wish Sarah would have been at the reunion. Maybe Bao, like, kind of.
Yeah, they could have brought her out.
86 stats, like, I don't want her here.
Like, I'm not doing this. If y'all think about bringing Sarah,
I'm out.
So that was all the things we got before we got to the retreat. So Mirla arrived at the retreat. She had a separate apartment. Let's see. Johnny, he surprised Mirla by coming. And then Rachel and Jose were there, of course. They had some outdoor water activities. But yeah, also before the retreat, Rachel and Jose went on a bowling date. So there was that. And then Bao, Zach, and Ryan arrive. And so Bao walks up. They all are saying hi to each other. Johnny looks at Bao. He says, what's up, Bao? She does not respond. She does not acknowledge his existence by any means. And he says being around her takes him back to a place he doesn't want to be anymore. And so he did not like that. Would you have said hi to Bao or hi to Johnny, Amy?
Yeah, I think. You at least just say hi, like just say, hey, how's it going? Right, like, don't just keep walking as you're saying it, but you don't have like, that just makes it more awkward, you know, like,
yeah,
if you can sit next to each other in front of Kevin Frazier on a TV screen, like,
yeah,
you know, you can interact for a very small amount here, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought they had really kind of fabricated that, but then they both kind of said that's exactly what happened. I was like, oh. Like,
yeah.
He actually just really just did say no word to that man. I was like, oh my gosh. Because like, I thought they like, cut it to where, you know, it seemed like she didn't. But then they flat out said, oh yeah, she didn't say hi to me. Like, oh yeah, I don't want to acknowledge this existence. I was like, damn, mm-hmm. she really just ignore that, man. That's fun. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that was funny. So then Bao and Zach go for a walk and they had the DTR, the define the relationship. And because Bao's like, are we exclusive? And yeah, he's like,
unquote,
well,
quote unquote, one day after their first date.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, well, I'm only focused on you and I'm not looking at anyone else, but I don't want to ask you to do that. And she was like, well, I don't want to entertain anyone else either. And so they agree that they are dating exclusively. She jokes that they should have just got married at first sight.
So, something interesting I did clock when Bao was at her house trying on clothes or whatever for her friend. Mm-hmm. She still has her wedding ring on, which I thought mm-hmm. was interesting.
That is interesting.
She wanted so badly out of this, but she, you know, much like Gil, has not given up the fight. Maybe, I don't know. Like, it was weird to me.
Maybe it's like I committed to being married, so I'm not going to take it off until we're officially divorced. I don't know. Because yes. If they all are still not divorced and they're both married out on this date.
Yeah.
So then we see, because of that interaction, Johnny has decided to pack up and leave. He's not even staying the night at this retreat. He's like,
Bye, Johnny.
I want everyone to have fun.
You definitely have fun with you here, Johnny. Bye.
Right. Then the last we see of him is that he says he wouldn't mind being a stay-at-home dad. Where did this come from?
Okay, what? It's like, All right, Johnny. See you never, my guy. See you never. Yeah.
Johnny is going to Johnny. But that was pretty much it for everybody. Anything else from where they now that y'all wanted to point out?
I don't think so. No, I think just the end of it was all like a really kind of like generic. Yeah, I can't wait to find love someday. Jose and Rachel, quote unquote, breaking the news that they're moving back in together.
Yeah. Which, based on Instagram, I don't think they are together. I'm not trying to report this. These are my suspicions because Thanksgiving, that is usually the type of holiday that you're with your significant other if you are married. And she was at Johnny's. Her and Rachel were at Johnny's for Thanksgiving.
Which brings me to the real problem I have with these Where Are They Now specials. Because this is not really where they are now.
Right. Yeah. Where are they a couple months ago?
Right.
Couldn't they at least do like that thing where they put like at the end, like text that you have to read, you know, since filming, you know?
Yeah. I would love if Jose and Rachel's like, guess what? We're moving back in together. Black text on the screen. Yeah. Unfortunately, they did a week later, they officially ended their marriage. Yeah.
I think the where are they now? They need to just put up where are they now on the screen and just give them all of their Instagram handles, and then we'll just go from there. We just can, we can find it out on our own because now they've been on TV. A lot of them have been very active on social media. I would say maybe a couple don't regularly post, but Ryan loves to post DMs that he gets about Gil. So that's a thing he's been doing.
About Gil.
Yeah. So people have been like, people will respond to Ryan's stories and say, is Gil with you? Or the one he posted today was he had like posted a picture of him at the airport of an astronaut suit. And someone replied to his story and said, has Gil ever gone to outer space?
Is a person we're actually interested in around you?
No. Right.
If we don't care about you, tell us about Gil.
Like, yeah, please. They're like, are you traveling with Gil?
Can you put Gil on, please?
Right. And Ryan responded and he said he should because he's out of this world.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, Married at First Sight is Ryan's personality trait at this point. We don't know if that's going to change. We shall see. But yeah, if you want any update on any of their social medias, it is out there on Instagram. Bao posts regularly on her stories. Ryan, Mirla, she posts a lot on her stories. So it's been a lot of Porsche content, Porsche Fendi. So if you truly want to know where they are now, go out there. Well, that is it. We made it. We covered two whole episodes like we used to do last season, Amy.
That's true. Right.
Thank you so much for joining us, Jason. It was a pleasure, as always.
Oh, yes. As always, I enjoyed myself immensely. I love talking about these crazy people with you too.
Oh, before I wrap it up, I have the story that I was saving for this podcast.
Oh, yes.
So I was out. This was a couple months ago at this point. I was out with a friend, or I was out for one of my friend's birthday, and I'm walking into this club and I see a familiar face and I'm like, that can't be. And I go to, we go to our section. I look some more. And of course it's dark. We're at a club. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is Zach. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I remember I texted Jason, Mari, Amy. I was like, oh my gosh, I just saw Zach at the club. And he was like with one of his best friends who was always on earlier in the season. He was with him and a couple other friends. And Zach was so nice. I went up to him and I was like, are you Zach from Married at First Sight? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, I love this season. I've been podcasting about it. He's like, oh my gosh, so cool. And then I had one of my friends follow me over there just in case I got a picture. And so then I was like, can I get a picture with you? And he's like, yeah. So we take the picture and then he's like, do you want to get another one? And I was like, sure. So then we get like, we got a selfie and then we got an actual like front of the camera shot. So yeah, I have a picture with Zach. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
Actually, can you tell them about the real failure that happened here?
What was the real failure?
That you failed to look at his left hand.
Oh yeah.
To see if he was still married.
Yes. I was wondering. I completely forgot. And I don't even think I can see it in the picture. It was like great investigative work on my end.
Yeah.
You didn't scour the place for Bao.
Right. Yeah.
I remember telling you at the time to be careful because you don't want to end up like a, you know, cleaning a supply bottle messing with Michaela's man.
Right. Like, is he still with Michaela? Oh my gosh. I'm just taking pictures. I'm just a fan of the show. But yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. But yeah, I definitely don't want to explain that just in case. Didn't want to give it anyway because people would obviously assume if he's at a club, he's probably not still married to Michaela. But yeah, now we know he's dating Bao. So that is very interesting. So
let me ask you guys real quick. Mm-hmm. Where would you rank this season amongst Pantheon?
Oh.
Because I think this season was a little better than last season because I felt like the drama was more evenly spread out.
Absolutely, yes.
Rather than being focused on one couple.
Mm-hmm.
I would put this season in probably the upper tier, like upper third.
I would too. I would say like if it was like someone who had never seen Married at First Sight and was curious, like, okay, what's the first batch of seasons I watch? I would definitely rank this one up there. Even though it ended with only one couple still married, I still think it was very entertaining to watch.
Listen, we don't come here for that, right? We don't really care about that.
If I want a successful, like I said last time, if I want a successful couple, I'm going to look at The Bachelor.
Really?
Because at least they don't break up until after the fact.
Okay, yeah.
Not on the show.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, where would you rank it, Amy?
Yeah, I think I still am like, I always want at least some couples to come out of it, which is weird because it's not like I am really invested in couples cam or anything like that, but yeah. It makes it feel like it was more worth my time. I like the couples that are more messy too. So yeah, it's kind of in the middle for me, I think.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a boring season.
Yeah,
I will give it that. I still think season 10 was like all the drama.
Season 10 is the yeah. Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think what's hard about this one is like from the first episode, you just feel so confident in your like predictions. You're like, oh, this, yeah. they are meant to be. And then we grew along with Mirla and Gil. We're like, okay, we're putting everything in them now.
Oh, yeah.
So it just, listen, normally
they're.
Yeah,
I have a point because I put them at a one.
Yeah, very you knew. Season,
and y'all mocked me later. I want my half a point.
Yeah,
you get a little bit of that
because normally you can just tell, like with Jake and Haley or something, a couple like that.
Oh yeah,
Christina Henry. This is never gonna work. This is just a disaster the whole way.
And the first episode of this season was like not gonna work.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They took us on a roller coaster. So it was nice going into decision day not being completely sold on every single couple about what they were going to do, you know. It wasn't like a Jessica and Austin, like, oh, they're gonna stay together, we know that. There's like, yeah,
right.
But yeah, so good season, I will say.
Yeah.
So Jason, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at JAYR1085.
Nice. And Amy, what have you been up to?
You can find me podcasting about Bachelorette currently. And then that's on the Bachelorette feed and the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed. And on Twitter at RHAP Recapper.
Yeah, it's me versus you now, Amy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Final four.
Yeah, be hard to believe.
I know.
It went pretty fast. So fast. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what did she get? 4 episodes?
I every Bachelor and Bachelorette season, I say, all right, I'm going to get into it. And I missed the first couple weeks. But then I look up and like I see on Twitter, like they're the final four. And I'm like, what the hell? How did I miss this whole season?
Exactly.
Yeah, this season has not lasted long at all. Couple months, really, just that's it. So yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So it's AYSHA like ASIA. If you are a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, I joined Rob to talk about Survivor last week, about the Survivor Q&A. We podcasted about the Survivor Q&A and we had a great time. That was my first time talking directly to patrons. So that was a great time. I'll also be joining Chappelle and Mari to talk about Insecure this week over on Post Show Recaps. And then we do know that the next season of Married at First Sight is in Boston and is premiering in January. So keep a lookout for us covering that season. So thank y'all for sticking with us this season, listening to every episode. We really appreciate all the support all season long. And we are very excited for the next season. So until then, have a great rest of 2021.